San Francisco 49ers deep in the heart. Like Joe Montana in the corner, D. Clark. Garrison Hurst, Stiff Farm going 99. Don't get it twisted, one and all with prime time. John Taylor, Jerry Rice down
the... It's the 49er Faithful UK show. As one season draws to a close, the new season is just around the corner. And with that, the first important part of the year, free agency. This is the brutal business side of the NFL, and there's always a few surprises when cuts are announced, but not Russell Wilson. For GMs, the important question isn't, is this a good player? It becomes, is this player's contract good value? And also, where can we trim money if we want to spend money? So while it is a long way off, Super Bowls and playoff teams can be determined, at least in part, by the decisions made in the next couple of weeks. I'm Gareth Ellis. And I'm joined by a couple of guys. You can introduce yourselves, I think. Paul?
I think it would probably help.
Well, I was going to say, after you introduced me on Monday, Gareth, I was wondering what was coming. But yes, I'm Paul Hope. What's up, Faithful?
And I'm Lee Cowland.
There he is. So Nanji sends his apologies. I think he's busy working, busy boy at the moment, but I'm sure he will be back on the next show. I think we're relying on him being back on the next show. So before we go into some free agency, should we pick up on a little bit of news? We've obviously covered a little bit of the Super Bowl and the season. Haven't really talked about some of the things that fell out of the Super Bowl, in particular the almost, well, not almost immediate, but very soon after the conclusion of the game, DC Steve Wilks was fired. Simple question, Paul, was this the right decision?
Yeah, you look at the metrics. We regressed. We went down to number 12 in EPA player from its number one ranking in 2022. The fit just wasn't there, was it? I mean, Shanahan's been on record to say that he didn't like the mesh scheme. He didn't like the use of the front four. Lee said it on the live better than I can last night, Gareth. We should have made the change earlier in the season. The Ravens did it in 2012. And it didn't do them any harm, as Lee pointed out last night. And as soon as you said it, Lee, I thought, I can't believe you've put that memory back in my head. But I mean, some people accuse Shanahan, Gareth, of not being aggressive enough. And he's made the decision very quickly. He's decided to promote within. There's a few people unhappy that Staley's come on board, and I'm sure we're going to unpick it. But to answer your question, and I'll let Lee have his thoughts, I think it's the right move moving forward.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, it was the right move. And to be honest, I don't think it made any difference whatsoever. If we'd won or lost the Super Bowl, he was going to be gone that week anyway. I think midway through the season... In fact, it was that three-run defeat that we had when he forced him out of the box down into the to the sideline. That was telling then, and that's why I was saying to Paul yesterday, what we should have been doing is getting rid of him then, because it needed to happen.
What do you think, Gareth? Do you think it was the right move, or do you think Wilks should have been given another chance?
I think it was the right move. I think obviously. We had the bit of the euphoria of winning the NFC Championship game. Soon after halftime, beginning of the third quarter, I did entertain the thought, if this doesn't go well, Wilks is definitely gone after this performance where we just got torn apart. And to be honest, by the Green Bay Packers as well, we didn't look defensively organized in those couple of games. And I think it's that, perhaps more than the Super Bowl itself, that probably did for him. But I think you're right. I think the writing was on the wall anyway. And you do wonder how much Shanahan or even Lynch or others felt that they needed to step in, and that Wilks wasn't heading the defense in the right direction. It did. I think it looked bad in the first couple of days after, because I think on balance, our Super Bowl loss was more on the offense failing to take its chances than the defense being cut open by Kansas City. I thought the defense did a very good job containing.
Let's be honest. When you say offense, it was more on Shanahan not taking his chances.
Fair enough. That's it.
And that's why it looks so bad.
It looked bad on Staley that he looked like he's cast around for someone to blame. But you're right. I don't think it was that. And I think
well, hopefully we weren't blaming Staley, because he wasn't on the team at the time.
Wilks.
It's just making sure people are listening. I mean, to be fair,
I've gone to Port these last couple of weeks. It's the end of a long season.
I do say you
have the most thankless job in sports entertainment, and it's telling. But I suppose what you could give Wilkes a bit of credit for, chaps, is he was brought in because of his secondary background, and he focused on that. The pass rush and the coverage didn't go together, but that was kind of expected when you looked at what Wilkes was going to bring at the table. But like Lee said on the live last night, I think the fact of when you call the timeout in the Super Bowl, it's such a crucial time because you don't like what your coordinator's doing, the writing's on the wall. And I think he's hoping, and I don't know whether you agree, Lee, that the new arrangement by promoting within keeps some of the stars happy, but bringing in an experienced, someone he trusts, because let's face it, Wilkes was an outside guy. You could argue Staley's in the clique because he's from the Shanahan coaching tree, that we're going to go back to basics and do what we do best in 49ers defense. So I'm excited to see that happen. I know a few people aren't happy about Staley coming on board, but Anthony Lynn's departed to Washington. So I think it's a smart move bringing in someone else in with head coaching kind of experience. I know it didn't work out for him at the Chargers, as Nagy knows better than most. That's the real reason Nagy's not here tonight. Let's not be about the push.
So I completely agree with where you're going with Wilkes coming in and improving the secondary. But what you have to remember is we've invested so much draft capital in the defensive line.
And
not
cash.
Cornerbacks. Yeah, in the defensive line. And that's what should be the main focus of our defense. And bringing Wilkes in completely scuppered that. So we went from, I think, 46 sacks back in 22 to 34 sacks this season just gone. And it wasn't just the amount of sacks either. We were ran on all the time. And, yeah, I mean, that might not be all Wilkes' fault because we didn't really do a very good job at replacing DJ Jones. Granted, Yvon Kinlaw did step up towards the end of the season, and I'll be speaking about him a little bit later. Hargrave, he didn't do as much as what I was expecting him to do.
No.
He was a little bit of a disappointment.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I personally don't think it was harsh to get rid of Wilkes, because like I said, I'd have gotten rid of him after that defeat against the Bengals. He'd have been out the door and I brought somebody else in. But Shanahan doesn't do it that way. I don't think the 49ers do it that way. I can't remember the last time they made a coaching change in the middle of the season. Yeah, when we've got one or two games left at the end of the season, they get rid of a head coach. But the season's pretty much over by then. So, yeah, I don't feel sorry for Wilkes. He had an opportunity there. And over the course of the season, he just didn't produce.
No, I don't think it was harsh, but I do think it's probably more a case of just being a bad fit than Wilkes being, you know, fundamentally bad at his job. I just don't think he was the right guy for the defense that we've built, the defense that Shanahan expects his coordinator to put out. And potentially a lot of that, of course, is maybe there is strong personalities and difficulty working together. And I think that is tough for anyone who's been a head coach and then has to come back to be a coordinator. It takes a lot to swallow that and accept that you're not the top dog anymore. Not saying that any of that was suggested, but you never know. All this sort of stuff that goes in the mix about being able to just work together, because we all have the same. All of us who have to work with other people, we all know about those issues that go on. But anyway, as you said, his replacement has been found from within. Pass game specialist Nick Sorensen. Can't say I know a lot about him. Can't say that that's any different than Robert Saleh or D'Amico Ryans. So let's hope he's going to have the same sort of career trajectory as those two guys have. Any thoughts on that?
I've found an interesting nickname for our new defensive coordinator. So as you've just said there, he's been a special teams coordinator. He was actually our defensive pass game coordinator in 2023, and he was nicknamed the Ball Father because he ran weekly meetings titled The Ball, which emphasised generating takeaways and avoiding giveaways. And if you look, we have led the league in turnover differential over the past two seasons. was interesting to find out that he's a former college quarterback, the predecessor of Michael Vick at Virginia Tech. And the article I've been reading, apparently the Niners are so impressed with his versatility as part of the reason he's been promoted. He's also started adding to his staff. So he's added the former linebacker from the Seahawks, whose breakdowns on YouTube I really enjoyed last year. But you've got to love a nickname on this, surely. The Ball Father. That's it, I'm sold. I should have known that before, Gareth. And I was like, yep, that's the one for me.
Yeah, and I think you'd have probably been pleased that it was Nick Sorensen and not Chris Kocurek. Because obviously you would have had to have said his name quite a lot next season. So I bet you were relieved about that.
I'd have practiced. I'm not the one getting the names wrong at the moment. Gareth would have been
more relieved. No, exactly.
Yeah, he's getting the easy names wrong.
Yeah. The Seahawks player I think you refer to, or ex-Seahawks player, was linebacker KJ White. He was also on my list. So that's quite interesting again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm.
His defensive breakdown.
I was all over the moon with that. I thought that was quite a good appointment.
I think any player who's had a good professional career, give them a chance coaching if that's what they want to do. Not all of them make it, obviously, but some of them do. So,
yeah, if you're not sure about Wright, go and check out some of his defensive breakdowns on YouTube, because I really enjoyed them last season. And it was interesting to see the footage of him with Sorensen at the Seahawks, because I think Sorensen was... So he was 8 seasons coaching under Carroll in Seattle. So he's got a background of that system. And believe it or not, I think Staley's been brought in because he is kind of a disciple of the former coordinator, Vic Fangio, which I've been practicing lately. And I know I've got that one right. So apparently...
Come on, that's an easy one, that one, Paul.
Well, not for me, it's not. Not for me, it's not. But apparently, Shanahan was impressed in the past with Staley's defensive game planning against us in 2022, and also against the Chiefs. So I'm not saying those two games have got him the gig to come and work alongside Sorensen, but I think what you've got to understand with the kings of the NFC, and that isn't going to change, if we're going to get over the hump, you have to beat Kansas City, and any advantage you can get over them, I'm all for it. So as soon as I saw that little nugget, I thought, right, I'm writing that down, and I'm mentioning that tonight on the pod.
Well done. You've mentioned it. Shall we move on to free agency? I think that was the point of the show, wasn't it? And we've got a list of the 49ers players who are about to become free agents. Look at that, slick. There's a list there. No huge names on the list, but some players who've made a reasonable contribution. Well, you know, they're not the...
Yeah, I mean, Chase Young's on the list.
Well, fair enough. We'll agree to disagree then. I didn't feel, you know, there's no Debo. Well, okay. There's no Trent Williams. There's no, you know, starting players. Anyway, there's a list. There's a list of players.
You some keep of them him right, Gareth. Have, don't listen to him. You keep him right, buddy.
I won't.
Hey, don't some you the, be picking on me tonight.
The percentage down the side, I think, is the percentage of snaps they played in for their... position group. So as you can see, there's certainly with Tashaun Gibson at the top there, someone who's played a lot, and then it goes all the way down to friend of the show, Chris Conley at the bottom there, and unfortunately just dropped off the list. It's QB3, Brandon Allen. But there's quite a list of names there. Simple questions. Who are we going to keep and who are we going to let walk?
First question for you. Is that percentage of snaps over a season or percentage of snaps the player could have played in? Because obviously John Feliciano came halfway through the season and he's got 44.8. If that's based on a season's worth of snaps, he probably played the majority of the snaps that he's available.
I definitely thought
he played more than 44%.
You'll have to check where we got that from. No,
I'm going to assume it's 44% of the snaps available for him to play then. Because he was subbed out with Spencer Burford to our detriment in overtime in the Super Bowl. But we won't talk about that again.
Looking at that list,
I've got 5 players that I would definitely want us to re-sign and one player that I hope we would, because I think it'd be a cheap deal and I think he's a decent depth player. So I've got Chase Young, John Feliciano, not Joe, and he wears 55, not 50. Believe it or not, I've also put down Yvonne Kinlaw, because this season I think he's shown enough for us to keep him on. And I don't think he's going to garner big money, because he hasn't got that resume behind him. He has been injury prone. This season, I think, is the first season where he hasn't missed a game. He made some pivotal tackles in the playoffs, especially against the Lions on both fourth downs. If it wasn't for Yvonne Kinlaw, they may have gotten those fourth downs. But he did enough work on the edge coming through with two offensive linemen to make those players successful. I've also got Juwan Jennings, which was a no-brainer. I think we will keep him. I mean, we've put a second-round tender on him. I don't think anybody would be willing to give up a second-round pick for somebody who's not quite a wide receiver one. I mean, to be fair, he's probably no wide receiver two either. But he's kind of touching between three and two. I think if you could stick him on a bad team, he'd definitely start game in, game out. But unfortunately, we're not a bad team. Or fortunately, we're not a bad team. And the other one is Oren Burks. I thought he did a job for us as a linebacker. He's had a couple of injury worries, but nothing too major. And I think we can get him on a decent deal as well. And the guy that I wanted to re-sign, and I think we can get him on a cheap deal, is Kevin Givens. Because I think he's been okay. I think he's been a solid depth player on the defensive line. Other than that, maybe Sam Darnold. That would be a push. There's some decent quarterbacks out there in free agency. I mean, we will talk about who I want to pick up later on. But Sam Darnold, obviously, we're down to one quarterback at the moment. So both Sam Darnold and Brandon Allen are up in free agency. So we have to sign at least one quarterback. He knows the system. Shanahan obviously likes him. There was talk last off-season that there was going to be a camp battle between the two of them. Didn't materialise. Brock Purdy was the obvious number one. When he came in, he looked okay. He looked okay, but he still makes you nervous because you think back to the Jets days when he used to see ghosts. So, yeah, I mean, as a backup, Sam Darnold will do for me. How about you, Paul? Which ones out of that list will you keep?
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat the ones you've said. Ferrell is an interesting one for me. I think he showed flashes. The difficulty you've got, we said this off air, we can get into the cap a little bit later, Gareth. I don't think the Niners are in as bad shape as people are thinking, but you said it right at the start. It comes down to money, Lee. And I'm looking at that list and there's some players in there that I've had moments. I think, right, I want to keep him. But then you think, actually, you look at the free agent list and you think, well, if we let him go, can we reinvest that money? So you're thinking Sam Darnold, and that shows you the growth that I've made on the show. I'm automatically thinking, I don't want Sam Darnold back on the same money. And I think we gave him a lot of money to make him come to be a backup. I don't think he wants to be a backup. So I think, again, you'd have to give him that kind of money and you kind of think, would that money not be reinvested somewhere else? Down the bottom of the list, the likes of Chris Conley, friend of the show, I think he takes a prove it deal. I don't think he's going to get money elsewhere, but I'm glad you mentioned Burks because he was one that I liked. I do like Jennings. I like Givens. Kinlaw, he did play better last year, Lee, but again, the cynic in me is thinking he's missed 13 games in the last 2 years. Yeah. How much does he want? And if he takes a team-friendly deal, so be it.
Let's be fair, though. Let's put some context around that. He missed 13 games last season. He hasn't missed any this season.
Yeah. No. So that's what I'm saying. Like, he was obviously playing for something to prove this year, and there's a number of things. And it was great to see him not get
possibly
injured. I mean, I had high hopes for Sebastian Joseph Day when we picked him up. Randy Gregory, they haven't set the world on light, so if they don't come back, I'm not going to be too upset. Chase Young, I don't think he set the world on light, but if he can come back, a decent deal. I think Gibson is looking at retirement. I don't think he was great last year. I know Nadji said on Monday's show he missed Hufanga, and I think that does tell. But I'm pretty happy with the list you said. So what about you, Gareth? Any names on there that Lee didn't mention that you want to bring back?
No, I think Juwan Jennings is top of the list, and obviously his restricted status there should ensure that he's coming back, and I think he wants to come back, and I think there is a chance he comes back and earns what he's been worth to the team. I would like to keep Charlie Warner. I think he's one of those underrated players in our system where you think, I wonder what he does. Maybe it's my false memory, but a lot of the times we've scored this season, if you look around, Charlie Warner's always seems to have been somewhere close to the ball when we've been scoring, which isn't a particularly good analysis or objective, but I think he's just been in there doing some dirty work and getting the job done. And I think our offense needs that kind of player. Who else on there?
So I've got somebody else that's missing off there is Ross Dwelly.
Yeah.
You've just reminded us when you said Charlie Warner, because I knew both tight ends were free agents this season.
He's not on the
list. Just in case that changes your mind about Charlie.
No, I think Dwelly's... I think it's true with a few names on this list. The decision to be made is we've got guys, we know what they are. They're dependable. They're good professionals like Dwelly. He's been with the team, I think, 5 or 6 years. And he's clearly, you don't get to hang around Shanahan's team without being a good professional. But let's face it, if he's not broken into the team by now, is he a roster space when we drafted two tight ends last year that we didn't see a lot of? I think we probably know as good as we're going to get out of him. I would imagine he'd get signed somewhere else as well, possibly as a tight end too, because I think he has put some good stuff on tape. But it's guys like him, guys like Kevin Givens. I think, again, we know what we're going to get. And if it's very cheap, these are exactly the sort of guys you fill out your roster with. But on the other hand, maybe that roster spot is best taken with a late round draft pick who might suddenly become a much better player. And I think that's one of the difficulties with going through this list. Kinlaw, I'm not that bothered, to be honest. I think he might get more money than we're prepared to pay. It's the same with Chase Young. I think just his status of being a number two overall pick will get him another couple of million somewhere. Somewhere will give him a chance. Someone will possibly see him as another rehabilitation project. And there'll be some coach somewhere who remembers scouting him and remembers thinking, oh, I wish I was going to have the second pick and I could pick him. And then suddenly you get the chance to do so. There's a lot of names. Flanagan Fowles, again, not played badly, reliable, dependable. We're seeing what these guys' ceilings are. It's whether it's we feel it's a chance to clean house a little bit and restock, or whether some of these guys are exactly the sort of players you need to keep around your squad, keep around your building on cheap deals if they will take them. Because I think some of those guys that we might like to keep might well have other opportunities elsewhere. And I think that is testament to our team. People know that if you've hung around in the 49ers for a few years, you're probably going to be a good pro and you're going to be worth snapping up if you're looking for a bit of depth at linebacker, for example, with Flanagan Fowles. I'm sure there are coaches out there who are thinking they can probably work with what they've seen. And Chris Conley, I'd like to keep Chris Conley. We saw him obviously at the back end of last season. And why not? We're going to need these more receivers. I doubt he's going to have a huge market, so I'd definitely like to keep him. Sam Darnold, I think we could probably do worse, and at least he spent a year in the system. Ray McLeod, it's tough, but he never really provided what we wanted him to do in kick return. And there is a Pro Bowl kick returner available in free agency, apparently. So maybe that is something a bit left field we could look at. Randy Gregory did not impress me. I think Clelin Ferrell obviously just had his injury. I'd probably like to keep him. John Feliciano, I'd like to keep him as well. Zaire Oliver, I think, has indeed already been sent on his way. There's some tough decisions there, but I don't know that there's anything that there's necessarily going to be a huge amount of regret for letting some of those guys go, or a huge amount of regret if we can get some of those guys back on team-friendly deals. So quite a safe free agency for us, I think.
Yeah, I was going to ask you two a question at this point. I mean, I'm confident in Shanahan and Lynch and the way they manage the roster, the way they've put the team together. Are you two guys concerned looking at that list? Are you actually happy to trust in the process? No.
Yeah, I trust the process 100%. Definitely.
The players we want to keep don't reach free agency.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw it out there, Gareth, because I've seen some murmurings, but people need to remember.
So there's one player on there that neither one of you have mentioned, and that's Deshaun Gibson. Now, I think he's more than likely going to retire.
Paul mentioned him. He said he's going to retire.
I didn't hear that.
We don't know that.
He did say he'd come back for a year, so it's a fair assumption to say he's going to retire. But if he decided to continue playing, would you re-sign him?
It depends on how much. It all comes down to how much, doesn't it?
I think I would allow him to come to training camp and kind of hang around the team and see. But it would depend who you're pairing him with. Like Nadji said, when Hufanga went down, I think Gibson and Hufanga gelled well together. Gibson and Ryan were definitely not the answer. And I think we're going to go younger and possibly cheaper. And he's 34. Depends whether he wants to come back, Lee. Maybe he gave it his all. He's had his run at it. And maybe him and Logan Ryan decide to get in the coaching or whatever else. But
well, I mean, to be honest, lot of free I heard a rumour like that there's one or two safeties in free agency. There's plenty of choice.
There is. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if we use some of our later round picks on the safety position either, and started to get more of a production line of players coming through that position. I would not be surprised at all. And I think somebody in the building, maybe general manager, might know a thing or two about that particular position. So I'm sure he's probably going to have an opinion on any safeties coming out of college. So we've talked about who we're going to let in or who we're going to let walk and who we're going to keep. Do you think we're going to be busy in terms of any trades? Doesn't tend to happen this time of the season, but do you think we're going to
possibly? So there's a rumour. There's a rumour which I've only just seen today. DJ Jones. If the Broncos are going to release him because of a cap hit, because they're trying to save as much money as possible, then, yeah, I mean, I'd be over the moon if Lynch tried to chuck them a seventh or a sixth-round pick for DJ Jones, because he made such a difference to our defense as a run stopper. And obviously we got absolutely murdered over the last six games by runners. So it's definitely something that we should be prioritizing.
I'd be happy with that. Yeah, I think what they've shown, Gareth, if there's a deal to be done, they've been very aggressive. We said off air, I think this time last year, none of us expected the Niners to snag the number one free agent in Hargrave. Obviously, they've traded for Jimmy G in the past. They've been very active. So I've kind of plugged back in. Today as my first day of free agency and draft stuff. Me and Lee said last night we struggled to let go of last season because of how great it is. And then you fire up Twitter and social media today and you start seeing Holly's names. Like you said, the safeties that are out there. I thought someone was playing a joke on me this afternoon when I Googled it. And I was like, Christ almighty, some of the names on there. And like you said, it just goes to show that other teams aren't managing the cap. Jason Hurley, who Lee and Nadji have had on the show before, he's great with the cap numbers. Go follow him on Twitter. I've been lost in his feed this afternoon. And he's telling me not to worry about the cap this year and next year, then he knows more than I do, so I'm not going to worry. But I think, like you've said there, Lee, this is the start between now and Monday. Is it when it officially opens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Monday is the official tampering day. And just before you came on, Paul, me and Gareth were talking, and I was saying, I've never ever seen a free agent class as deep as this. There's talent across the board. And it's going to be interesting to see who picks up which players, because there's so much talent out there. You could actually make a team with the talent that's there.
Totally. You can make a middling team out of what's there.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how much money we have in the cap once we go all in on Kirk Cousins as our number one quarterback.
Clearly.
Because we all know what's going to happen. Let's not kid ourselves. He's coming.
So what Lee's teeing up there, Gareth, right towards the end of the live. So we've got two just early bobbleheads to give away. And Lee's decided one of the competitions is going to be between now and free agency opening. You've got to either drop us a tweet, drop us a DM, put a post in the group on who you believe the first free agent we will sign. Not our current free agents, as in, you know, like Hargrave last year. And we're going to put all those into a hat and we're going to pick a winner. Now, Lee dropped that last night at about 25 past nine, quarter to 10. And I thought, that doesn't give us much time. But I thought, I'll mention it on the pod now because I'm going to be interested to hear what the community's thoughts are because we've got a few people who know more about this stuff than what I do. So after the show, I will put a tweet out there and a post in the group. But Lee's just dropped the big one. Kirk Cousins is coming. So get those tweets out there. Tag Lee in there so everyone knows where the rumour started.
So funnily enough, he's not on my list of quarterbacks to take.
Is he not?
No. So I do have two quarterbacks that I would pick up as a backup quarterback.
Let's dive in. Who's on your shopping lists?
So I'm just concentrating on quarterbacks at the moment. So I've got Sam Darnold. I would quite happily re-sign him. But to be honest, I'd actually prefer us to pick up Teddy Bridgewater.
Hasn't he retired?
As the number two. Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was retiring. At the end of the season is gone. Pretty sure Andy Norton, the Lions fan we had on the show, was telling me that
really?
Teddy was retiring. I may be wrong, but that's what I've heard.
Right.
Just to shoot you down there.
Well, what's
sorry,
the point
buddy?
Of having him on the free agent list if he's retiring?
That's what I'm saying. I might be wrong.
Swap him for Tyrod Taylor, perhaps?
Let me just have a quick look at this.
I think there's
Marcus Mariota there. There's Marcus Mariota.
I think an experienced QB would be good.
Yeah, I think an experienced one. I think we'll pick an experienced one up and I think we'll draft one because we've got 11 draft picks. I think we are going to see a different QB room this year, is my humble opinion, Gareth. Any QBs on your list while Lee's fact-checking himself to see if Teddy's retired or not?
I'm not fact-checking. I'm just having a look at the other free agent quarterbacks.
We'll see. Russell Wilson, we might be able to pick up for a million. That'd be funny, if nothing else. But no, I don't think. Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, I think probably is going to get a starter job somewhere else. But ultimately, we're looking for the right backup. And I think, you know, it's obviously an important position if your QB ever goes down, if your QB is ever missing a game or two with a niggle. But I think it's just an important position in terms of it's effectively an assistant QB coach job.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's really what the QB2 needs to do as well. They've got a very specific job, as well as obviously running the practice squad. And I think that's where a little bit of experience. We know how good Brock is, but he hasn't been there and done it all. And someone perhaps who has, then obviously it could be the wonderful reunited with Jimmy G when he gets binned by the Raiders in about 6 days' time, or whatever it will be. So Jimmy G back as a Niner. All your shirts will be wearable again.
But he comes back with
number. You know what? That's not a bad idea.
He wouldn't wear number 10. Surely he'd rock a different number. Just come back rocking the 4-5 like Jordan.
So, question for you. I mean, obviously, this is a 49ers show, but I want to go a little bit left field. Where do you think Kirk Cousins ends up? Do you think he'll be a starter?
He'll be a starter.
Because, I mean, he's 35 now.
I've heard Atlanta as a possible start.
You think they've given up on Desmond Ridder already?
I'm just, some of the noise I've seen, the reckon Cousins could be a new head coach, win now mentality, kind of, that's one I've seen anyway.
He's got weapons. I think it would be attractive for him if he wants to move. Yeah. I think he obviously went to Minnesota and hasn't perhaps quite had the success in terms of sort of playoff success that they would have expected, I think, with the money they signed him for. I think there's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh are looking for a quarterback, and they're obviously not going to be in a position to to maybe draft one of the top prospects this year, unless of course they do something wild in terms of moving up. I think that's something that could be attractive to him.
So you mentioned Russell Wilson, and I've got to get this. I'm smiling, Lee. All those non-Niners fans who gave us a lot of hate for a certain trade that we did, giving up a couple of picks to move up in the draft, they've gone very quiet since Russell Wilson got released and the Broncos have sucked up $85 million cap it. That trade just looks terrible. Wilson has come out and said he wants to play again. So obviously add him into the mix. Some teams might feature taking Wilson over Cousins. Obviously, he's coming off the back of an Achilles injury, but I think you'll see Kirk. He'll go where he wants to go, I think, Lee, to be honest with you. I think he's got that respect in the league anyway.
I think he is the top free agent quarterback, so he should be fielding calls. You know, all those teams who are looking for a quarterback, they're being negligent if they haven't at least phoned his agent to say, what is he looking for?
See, I thought we wouldn't be talking quarterbacks and free agents, and look at us. We just can't help ourselves.
Well, it's a lot more, more enjoyable when it's not ours.
I know, but we've got our QB1 for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, but we don't have a QB2 or a QB3.
Oh, no. You just don't know what's going to happen in the draft, Lee. You were there.
Well, I have a theory about that as well.
Well, that's probably for another show. Shall we move off quarterbacks? Other offensive skill positions. Have you got anything, Paul, from your homework? Running backs?
Not running backs.
We haven't made a push there before, have we? I don't think we're going to do so this year. But we do need additional running backs, I think.
Well, I believe we need a tight end. And I also believe they'll be looking at wide receivers. Now, I hadn't done much of my homework because I've been a bit busy at work, but there's a name that jumped off the list to me, and that's Noah Fant. I think he could be interesting if we let Dwelly and Warner go. I think he played well at the Seahawks. I think, obviously, he played well at the Broncos. Dependent on the money, he could be someone to come in, because I think Shanahan's wanted that second tight end to go alongside George, and he hasn't quite found him for whatever reason. Another former Niner on the list, wide receiver, Kendrick Bourne. So if we can't agree with Jennings,
Kenny Boom.
Wouldn't mind seeing him come back, possibly. And then there was another name, and just because I used to draft him in fantasy football, DJ Shark. Imagine the chanting we could get on the go to meet up to a certain song if Shark scores a touchdown. But they're just a few of the names that I saw and thought, actually, I want us to keep Jennings, but if Jennings manages to land himself a deal on big money and we can't match that, I do think it's something to keep an eye on, because outside of Ayuk and Samuel, wide receiver room, Jennings would be the next on the list. And if he goes, you're looking at a bit of an empty wide receiver room.
Ray McLeod, if either of them stay. I'm not sure I agree with you on the tight end, given the fact that we put quite a lot of resources in the draft into that position last year, with two who, you know, one who obviously IR redshirted from before the season, and one who seemed to be playing the blocking role. Get on and learn that. I would have thought we're not going to give up on those two guys immediately. There may be a space available, and I think you're right that it's something Shanahan would look for, and it's a position I think we could do with. But I wouldn't have expected us to make much of a splash in free agency for it. Lee?
No, I was not looking at premium.
Yeah.
Yeah, so skill players, let's start off with the running backs. So, I mean, if we can, and I'm not saying we can, because I think he's going to be really expensive, Saquon Barkley. Yeah.
I mean, might fancy one year.
DeAndre Swift.
There's your sound bite. Paul was looking at realistic targets, and then Lee comes in. Saquon Barkley. Yes, I would take him, Lee. He's not a bad running back.
I mean, to be honest, there's Matt Breida. He's going to be available. He's only 29. Yes, he's made of glass, but he's only 29.
Nedge's got his shirt, so I guarantee he will want that as well.
Yeah. Tight ends, Mike Gesicki, Hunter Henry. think that's about it as far as tight ends is concerned on there. Logan Thomas, but I mean, he's 32 now. Probably he's not. Wide receivers, Curtis Samuel, Kendrick Bourne. Ah, Marquise Brown. He might be worth a shot. Calvin Ridley. Yeah, those are two that would excite us if we brought those in. But I'd rather have Juwan Jennings.
Yeah.
I'd rather he came back. And to be honest, I'd rather we build our team through the draft anyway and only get those real important positions of need in free agency. And at the moment, I don't think any of those skill positions we desperately need.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I can't see us making a splash at any of those positions. I think there is some intriguing stuff running back along there. Obviously, any of those running backs who sign would have to realise they're probably signing as the RB2 behind McCaffrey, though there could obviously be a kind of 1A, 1B format if you want to think of it that way. But I doubt we're going to sink that money into the running back room, given how much of it is taken by McCaffrey. I don't think we'll sign a wide receiver, but I was saying to Lee before the show started, Curtis Samuel is a guy who seems to pop up on the free agent list every other year. And he's always been that guy where I thought, I think he's the sort of player who can just add a bit extra to your offense without breaking the bank. And he's clearly a good pro as well. But I can't see us going tight end. The only thing I can see us really going for is offensive line, which I think I have alluded to before. I feel it's somewhere that we have neglected. We haven't, Trent Williams aside, spent the money. Do you think possibly we'd go offensive line?
Yes. I think we do. I think we're going to do it in the draft as well. But I think we might do it in free agency. I think we might bring one in.
Any names?
Paul's got two. So
have you got any names?
Have at two it. That have yeah, at it.
I mean, I've got four. Ooh. I've got four, but one of them's a re-sign. So John Feliciano.
Yeah.
And the other two, sorry, two of the other three have played for us before. So Trent Brown, Tomlinson. Right tackle. Yeah, so Trent Brown. And I know he's not that good at run blocking, but he's great at pass blocking. So that could help us out a lot with having Trent Brown on that right-hand side. Laken Tomlinson, yeah, he's the other one. But would he slide over to right guard? Because he's a left guard. And Aaron Banks
He's got that job, really, I think.
He's got that job. And the other one is Kevin Zietler. But he's getting on a bit. 34, 35. But he's a good guard as well. Those are my picks.
What I should have said, Gareth, when I gave you my names, I'm hoping we're going to invest big money in other areas of need. Hence why I was shopping in the bargain basement. But Robert Hunt, an offensive lineman, he would play on the right-hand side. He's been at Miami with Mike McDaniel. That scheme's very similar to ours. I don't think we're going to put that kind of money there. But when I've looked down the list, when I've come on the show tonight, he's a name that pops off there. Apparently, he's one of the top ones. Like you said, it would need big money investment. He started his career at tackle, but has played right guard over the past three seasons. And I think you'd argue we've been weak on that side of the ball. The other name I've seen, Ezra Cleveland. Apparently, we've been interested in for a number of years. We had our eye on him before last season's trade deadline. So that could be someone quite good. He's a little bit lighter than Hunt. But again, I think he might be expensive. But we're talking all these names, chaps. We just know we're going to sign a defensive end and we're going to draft on that side of the ball. But equally, they're the two names that I wanted to throw out for this show, Gareth, for the defensive end.
I definitely think if we can, I think, and it isn't, well, it's going to be a criticism of McKivitz, but I think it's a position we can upgrade. And ultimately, we do need the long-term plan for Trent Williams because, you know, one bad injury and that's it. We could suddenly be in a really bad state on our offensive line because we know that he's held most of it together. Obviously, we had the losing patch in the season where Debo was missing, but I think Trent Williams was also missing for those games as well. And arguably, that's as much of an impact. I do think it's somewhere where we're in the position we're drafting in. Are we going to be able to get a top tackle prospect at the back end of the first round and slot him over to left tackle in 2, 3, 4 years' time? I think it's going to be somewhere we might have to spend some money. And I think there, hopefully, there's people out there in the team who know more about the free agent tackles than I do. But it's somewhere I think I would be comfortable to see us spending a bit of money in terms of someone off their rookie contract, maybe not the top end money, but someone who might come for 2 to 3 years. And if they can prove they're good enough, might be taking Trent Williams's paycheck in that sort of time. So I think that's something definitely that I would like to see that offensive line shored up. And I'm not sure that we're going to be able to do it directly in the draft. Defensive side, do you really think we might spend something on the D-line? Gosh, it's almost unheard of. Go on then, throw some names at me then. DTs and DEs.
The one I want
we've
is...
We've got the... Go on.
Lee. No, you go first. It's all right.
We've got to throw our hat in the ring for Chris Jones. You've got to. Even if it means trading away somebody like Arik Armstead, I think you need to make a run at Chris Jones. You know, I think?
No, I'm not disagreeing with you.
I'm not disagreeing, but it's who do we lose? Because, yeah, it's Armstead at
Arik
at
Armstead.
Least.
His top name on the list. It wouldn't be a surprise. We've done it before. I mean, aside from Chris Jones, the one I did want was Brian Burns, but he's been locked up on the franchise tag. A name to watch out for would be Hunter. I think he's the top one left on the market now, played at the Vikings, but I think he'd want top money. But I think they've shown Gareth with going after Young, Gregory. They want another piece beside Bosa, so it wouldn't surprise me if we spend big. There's another name there, lad was at the Texans last year, Jonathan Greenard. He's only 26. So he's someone that apparently is featuring quite high, but I'm a bit cautious because he only had 53 pressures last year. By contrast, Bosa had 122. What about Joey Bosa? Because the commentators get that name wrong plenty enough. So if we have both Bosas on the opposite sides of the ball. So I think we see some money spent on that position, to be fair, Gareth.
So do I. I think, as you said, depending on what we do with Kinlaw and Givens, there may be a space to be won there. And certainly at the end, I don't know that Young and certainly Gregory did enough to win themselves a job with the 49ers. I think there's some interesting names there. I'd say he's older, but 28, Marcus Davenport. Kind of guy who might come in and think, well, actually, you know, I've earned a bit of money. I'll maybe come in as a rotational player where I'm not going to be expected to shoulder the load. And I can sort of extend my length of career, which maybe means I'm prepared to take a little bit less money each year because I won't be expected to do 60, 70% of the snaps. I can come in and do 20, 30% of the snaps in a good rotational group and not wear myself out and be as effective as I can be, maybe win a bigger job somewhere else down the line. I wouldn't be surprised to see a bit of a veteran presence there. Forgotten name this season, Drake Jackson. Not anything to do with free agency, but I think his status... he were obviously expecting him to be the bookend to Bosa, and it looked promising for one game, and then he's vanished and went on to injured reserve. I have heard he sort of popped his head up and said he's coming back next year, stronger and better than ever, and obviously he's still under contract. How the team feels about him, I think we'll be shown that perhaps in who we target in free agency, because, yeah, he had a very strange season.
Yeah, I think he was stashed on IR. I think they just weren't happy with his progression and they did the typical thing that all teams do. Stash good players on IR so they can't be picked up off the practice squad. Keep them for another off-season. Hopefully they'll develop during that off-season and we'll see how he goes at the start of next season. If he doesn't progress, I think he's gone. A name that I don't think either one of you have mentioned, Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, I can't say that name.
that's why we didn't mention it.
Yeah, I mean, good point. Yeah, it was a daft question saying, daft statement saying, I'm sure neither one of you have mentioned it. I definitely know Paul hasn't mentioned it. Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. He's a good player, and I think he could do a job opposite Nick Bosa. I mean, Paul mentioned Joey there. The only problem I've got with Joey Bosa, if he does become available, is he's very injury prone. I mean, people talk about Nick Bosa being injury prone, but I don't think Nick Bosa is. But Joey Bosa, yeah, he spends most of the time on the bench because he is injury prone. And he's getting to that stage of his career as well where potentially he's going to start dropping off a cliff as far as production's concerned. Having said that, if we get the opportunity and it's right for the team, I'd love to see bookend Bosa's.
No, I think I agree with you. Yeah. I think what we need at the moment is we need a three-down starter to complement Bosa and for that wide nine front to work. And that's why there was a name that I thought you might have mentioned there, Bryce Huff at the Jets. He's similar size to, if you think Dee Ford, if you think Ibukam in the past, 10 sack season last year, Gareth, but he's undersized in my opinion. He was used more at the Jets as like a specialist. And we don't need that. We need, as I've just said there, we need a three-down starter to complement. So that name Lee mentioned, he sounds like a good guy, but we'll have lots of fun mentioning that on the pod. I'll have to come up with a witty nickname if we sign him, Lee. That's a bit of a mouthful for me to pronounce.
So, back in the defence, linebacker. Some reasonable names, I think, available on the linebacker free agent pile this year. It's probably not position of need. Obviously, Dre's status. Because I think, isn't Dre going to be out of contract? I didn't see him on the lists, but
his contract was up. He's got another year left.
That's why. Aziz Alshire finished his one-year deal with the Texans. Got to say, I'd love to see him back.
I would love to see him back as well. But I'm going to chuck in a little bit of a grenade.
Oh, go on then.
How about Bobby Wagner for one season?
I knew you were going to say that. It's a comedy value, nothing else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's some great players there at linebacker. Hmm? Patrick Queen. Free agent. Devin White. Lavonte David. Devin Bush.
So you don't think we should bring back Quan Alexander, who's also...
So again, I mean, he's made of glass. He did play when he played for us, but he's made of glass.
No, I'm just... his veteran presence at the time was what was needed, but I think we had a piece because Greenlaw's injured, Gareth. I'd love to see Aziz come back, but I think he's going to want 10 mil, possibly more. Up front, he's had a good year at the Titans.
I think it's worth that. So
the only thing I'm holding on to is the fact that he was in that he was on the field at the NFC Championship game and he was in the kind of, you know, when they were doing they were bobbing up and down and they were doing the handshakes, and maybe he takes a little bit less to come back to us to contend for the Super Bowl rather than a couple of mil somewhere else. Because he is worth it. It's just when you're looking at putting the roster together and that you said, is it a position of need? But I think Greenlaw's injury, it wouldn't surprise me if we give Alziz, because he might be pricey, but he's going to fit back straight in, isn't he? He knows the scheme. He knows the locker room.
And it does depend how the new defensive coordinator is potentially going to value different position groups and how they feel that they are going to play. So,
and D. Winters, he showed flashes last year. I know he's not a free agent, but that could be, we don't know how he's developing in the offseason. That might be something, right? He's going to get a chance, so we don't need to spend that money, but who knows?
Who knows? That is difficult because we had most of our rookie class last season. We haven't really seen much of, and it's only within the building they're getting a chance to evaluate that and decide, do we need, we drafted two tight ends and two linebackers. So he clearly went after position groups in the last draft and doubled down on it to have a bit of insurance if one guy didn't work out. So I think they've shown where they wanted to put the development of the team. I do think this year we'll probably go back to trenches and probably running backs. But we should finish with the cornerbacks and safeties. I think corner might be somewhere we potentially look at.
Yes, you don't I've agree. Got the perfect player.
Go on.
No, I do. No. Completely agree. And there's a player there that we should be breaking our necks to try and bring back. K1 Williams. He's available. Bring him back. Put him in the nickel position. Get Demo back out on the edge. And that's it. That's the problem solved.
I was convinced you were going to say a Akello Witherspoon then.
No. Well, not to be fair, Sundays.
He mentioned Williams. I thought you were going to mention I can't even say his first name. Darius Williams played for the Rams first few years with the Jags last year. Signing him would mean Lenore becomes the full-time nickel cornerback. We know the Jags were quite good on turnovers last year until the player does. So when you mention, I could see K1 coming back, but I would like to see someone who Brandon Staley has coached, who Williams has. So that might be where last year we had Isaiah Oliver. Maybe he wasn't the greatest example to use, bringing in your new coordinator, but I think Williams played well from what I've seen last year. Got terrific speed, recorded 15 pass breakups and 4 interceptions. So you add that into our defensive scheme. It could be one to keep an eye on. I mean, I don't know money-wise what he wants, Gareth, but that's just a name I'm reading here on the Google search that I've done quickly.
The one that leapt out to me was Keyshawn Nixon. Not necessarily for his role in the slot, though that's obviously somewhere he can cover. But obviously, if we decide to let Ray go, we're going to need somebody dependable to get those kicks back. We've talked about it. We've never seemed to crack special teams to be even kind of average in the return side. I think obviously we've got should have been all pro Mitch, actual punter, but the return game, it's still getting that little bit of heart in the mouth moment every time we have to field the kick. And I'd just love to not have to go through that. We've been pretty lucky, I think. At least Ray's been dependable. But obviously, let's not open up too much PTSD from about a month ago with kick return issues. But they're there, and they always seem to have been with this team. Anyone at safety? There's a very deep safety list.
Before you go safety, he might not be on the show, but we've got to give Najee Carrara love. So he wants us to pick up Micah Hyde to play nickel, which, to be fair, Gareth, you pointed out that was Lenore's job. Now, next time Najee joins us, he might have to face the backlash of saying, get rid of Lenore, bring in Micah Hyde. But we've got the evidence, Najee. Part of the love, buddy, because I know you listen back to the show before we move on to safeties.
It's true, but I think Lenore was better in the slot, and that's why, you know, K1 Williams, he was great for us for a few years, but he did, before we let him go, I do recall he did drop off a little bit. So I do wonder if I'm going to disagree with Lee and say I think Demo's got that. I would rather see perhaps some veteran presence on the perimeter. I don't know that we're going to spend the money there, having spent it on Tavarius Ward, but that was a surprise. So
how about Gilmore then? Stephen Gilmore.
If there's a veteran who wants to come, then, and the money's right, I think that would be good. I think these days you need 4 good cornerbacks. You do. You need 4. You need 3 for the edges and 1 for the slot, because so many people play with 4 good pass catchers, whether that's running backs or tight ends, or just lining up with 4 wide receivers. I don't think you can plan to have 2 and hope that's enough. I want us to see us have 3 perimeter and 1 in the slot, as in quality starters.
As far as safety is concerned, I'd rather pick up a safety in the draft.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing G.A. Brown and Huff play together.
I think there's so much in the safeties. I do wonder if there's going to be a few big names who are going to be left out a little bit in the cold, and they might feel differently about coming to a contender come end of August. So I think that might well be the time to cast your net back on the safety class, since it does seem like there is a lot of safeties available this year. There is a lot. So free agency.
Look at the list. Nadji dropped Gareth just saying there's, what, 20 names on that list, but Comedy Gold, CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw that name and I thought...
Having Gardner Debo in practice. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I think we've done our little free agency roundout. We've come to the end of the season, really. But as a new league year ends, Mondays will be our last show. So we're going to do something a little bit special on Monday. We're going to do a Monday live show with the 49er Faithful UK Awards to mark the end of the season. And as we'll be live, we will be able to keep an eye on any breaking news from that first day of tampering. And of course, it's some other awards, I think, at the weekend. So it's timely. But of course, ours is far more important than that movie thing that I'm sure no one will have any interest in. There will be four awards available this year: Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Unsung Hero, and our overall team MVP. So the four of us will be on the live show making a case for four candidates for each one of those awards. And then we will put it to the UK Faithful to vote, because this is the UK Faithful Awards. It's not just the podcasters. We will put it to the vote, and you'll get to choose who the winner will be. I'm looking forward to it. I think that's going to be quite fun doing the awards live. You looking forward to it, lads? Worried already? Got your favourites?
Are we doing
up?
The Wheel of Fortune again to pick who gets whichever?
I think we
player.
Are. I think we are.
So, the Wheel of find out on the show.
Wheel of positivity. Oh. Yeah.
Right. Though we will have then. To have a little discussion to talk about the candidates for each award, especially Unsung Hero, which some of the others tend to pick themselves, don't they? But that's one that's usually quite wide open and my favourite award. So that will be something to look out for on Monday.
I'm looking forward to that. It's technically Nadji's first live appearance, which I'm excited for.
I don't think it is. I think all four of us did a live show either last year or the year before as part of the draft.
But I meant as in with the new format with the comments coming in and the fact that we're promoting it.
Yeah.
And I know he's going to join us on the live shows moving forward. He's just been busy with work. But no, I am looking forward to this one, Gareth. I think it'll be good. It's always well received. It's kind of strange that you've just announced it's going to be the last show of the season. I think I've got 100% record for this season, so I'm going to keep that going. I think I'm the only one that's managed to go all season.
So strangely enough, this season we'll have done 60 episodes. Exactly the same amount as last season.
Really? Feels like a lot more.
No, 60. I mean, that doesn't include the live, obviously.
Yeah.
So 60 podcast episodes.
We're nearly at 50,000 downloads in total, aren't we, Lee?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we've passed 50,000. I'll need to check on that. But you've just reminded us when you talked about awards, we are the number two podcast in the UK for the British accent. Can you believe that?
According to...
According to site called FeedSpot, who were trying to get us to sign up to something.
Yeah,
give that a wide berth.
Yeah, it's a lovely award, but, well, it's not even an award.
Well, it's an upgrade on the feedback we used to get. What was it that we got? Someone commented, it's not the worst podcast out there, so...
Not the worst fan podcast out there. Yeah. But it's close, which we should immortalise. Anyway, enough of this rambling. We have gone over an hour. Anything else before we wrap up, gents?
Nothing at all.
Good. We shall save anything else for the live show. So thank you, boys. And thank you to everyone who listens and watches the show. Thanks for all the likes, subscribes and comments. We hope you have enjoyed it. One season ends, another season begins. We get to do it all over again. The NFL season is dead. Long live the NFL season. Go Niners.
Go Niners.
Bang bang nana gang.
We love the San Francisco 49ers deep in the heart. Like Joe Montana in the corner, D Clark. Garrison Hurst, stiff farm going 99. Don't get it twisted, one and all with prime time. John Taylor, Jerry Rice down the sideline.